RNZ Pacific, mālo tau mao e pongi pongi ni. I'm Mara Tuile e Pataila with the news. Tonga's King Tupou VI is urging people to unite and rise from the ashes of the volcanic eruption and tsunami which devastated the country 2 weeks ago. The King was at his residence on Ewa Island, south of Tongatapu, when the disaster struck. In a broadcast to the nation, the King said, "Tongans who can withstand difficulties are those that stand together." He said homes, plantations and infrastructure were destroyed. Three people lost their lives as a direct result of the Hungatonga Hungahaapai eruption and tsunami on January the 15th. King Tupou expressed his condolences to the families of the victims. Telecommunications continue to remain down in the Vava'o and Ha'apai group of islands in Tonga since the violent volcanic eruption and tsunami 2 weeks ago. Mobile company Digicel has been working to re-establish its mobile network by fixing its microwave link on the uninhabited island of Gao, which is covered in volcanic ash. Digicel CEO in Tonga, Anthony Seelseel, says a team of engineers had been attempting to land by helicopter on Gao.
For the last 3 days, the team have tried to get to that island via helicopter, for the helicopter to drop them at the top of Gao Island, fix the equipment which is at the top of the island. But it was too dangerous to land the helicopter on the summit.
11 containers packed with food and non-food items by Fijians are ready for deployment to their neighbour Tonga. Fiji's Disaster Management Minister Inese Ruiratu says a team of 15 personnel will accompany the shipment on Saturday. He says the operation will be a contactless one, with supplies to be loaded onto the wharf at Tongatapu and strictly adhering to the COVID protocols.
On Sunday, not a government ship, but of course built by New Zealand, and probably another 40 or what containers will go in that to further assist our brothers and sisters in Tonga.
Inese Ruiratu says Fiji will abide by the health safety protocols in place for Tonga because they do not want the coronavirus to enter the kingdom. In New Zealand, a COVID-19 modeller says the number of Omicron cases should double by the end of the weekend. Leah Tibbett reports.
Professor Michael Plank says Omicron cases tend to double in 2 to 4 days, and it would not be a surprise to see this with the super spreader events associated to the variant. There were 15 new cases of Omicron yesterday, bringing the total number of cases of the variant to 105. Mr. Plank says he expects there to be several hundred cases in the next week. Meanwhile, nearly all vaccination centres across Tāmaki Makaurau will be open on Auckland Anniversary Day to allow people to get their booster doses and their tamariki immunised in time for school. Northern Region Clinical Director Anthony Jordan says there are more than 300 GPs and pharmacies across the city delivering paediatric vaccinations.
The presidents of Russia and France have agreed on the need for de-escalation of the crisis in Ukraine as Russian troops remain massed across the border. In a phone call lasting more than an hour, Emmanuel Macron told Vladimir Putin that Russia needed to respect the sovereignty of its neighbours. The BBC's Lucy Williamson reports.
According to the Elysee, President Putin said Mr. Macron was the only one with whom he could have such in-depth discussions, and that the dialogue with the French leader was important to him. If the flattery was clear, the signs of progress were very faint. Mr. Putin said Russia wasn't looking for confrontation and wanted to continue European-led talks on the existing conflict in eastern Ukraine. But his troops are still massed on his neighbour's border, and he repeated his complaint that the West was not addressing Russian security concerns.
An Auckland-based charity group says the New Zealand government needs to provide more culturally appropriate help for struggling families. Wellbeing Charitable Trust provides mental health and family violence support to different ethnic groups and has also been helping families with food parcels during the pandemic. Its co-founder, Eva Chen, says the charity itself doesn't have direct funding from the government for food parcels, so they have often to refer people to bigger organisations.
The feedback we got from families is that there are certain things that is not, we don't have that in our daily meals.
Eva Jean says need is increasing under the red traffic light setting and officials should heed the call. She also says organisations should not stigmatise people by avoiding asking them for detailed personnel information. A race against time is underway for the US Navy to reach one of its downed fighter jets before the Chinese get there first. The $150 million F-35C plane came down in the South China Sea after what the Navy describes as a mishap during takeoff from the USS Carl Vinson. The jet is the Navy's newest and crammed with classified information, and it is in international waters. It is technically fair game. Whoever gets there first wins. The prize or the secrets behind this very expensive leading-edge fighting force. Seven sailors were injured when the jet struck the Carl Vinson's deck during a military exercise before falling into the sea. The pilot suffered injuries when he ejected from the plane. A human rights organisation has criticised a decision to allow North Korea to chair a key UN disarmament committee focused on preventing nuclear proliferation. Here's the BBC's Michael Bristow.
The presidency of the UN Conference on Disarmament, based in Geneva, is rotated between the organisation's 65 member states in alphabetical order. The Democratic People's Republic of Korea, North Korea's official name, will take over from Cuba in May. The rights group UN Watch said it was fundamentally wrong to put Pyongyang in charge while it was still being sanctioned by the UN for its own nuclear weapons programs. It wants countries to refuse to send their ambassadors to meetings during North Korea's four-week tenure.
In sport, the All Whites winning streak is over after a 3-1 loss to Jordan in their football friendly in Abu Dhabi this morning. Jordan were ahead 2-1 at half-time, with Chris Wood scoring New Zealand's goal from the penalty spot on the half-hour mark. Rafael Nadal will play for his 21st major title in tomorrow's Australian Open tennis final against Daniil Medvedev. Medvedev booked his second consecutive Open finals appearance with a semi-final victory over Greek fourth seed Stefanos Tsitsipas. Netball New Zealand will not reveal how many Silver Ferns have tested positive for COVID-19 as part of routine testing while in MIQ. Affected members of the touring party that have returned from a series in England are being managed in accordance with the Ministry of Health guidance and supported by Silver Ferns medical staff. And New Zealand Rugby is considering basing all rugby squads in a central location to help minimise the impact of Omicron on the competition, which is due to kick off on February the 18th. Queenstown is being mooted as a possible location. And World Rugby has confirmed details of the qualification pathway for the Women's World Cup in 2025, which will expand to 16 teams. Under the new pathway, the RWC 2025 host nation and the four semi-finalists from the 2021 tournament will qualify directly. The next six teams will qualify via regional competitions by 2024, with winners in Asia, Africa, Europe, Oceania, South America, and the newly established Pacific Four Series securing direct qualification. There will be a final event for the remaining spots. And that's the latest news from RNZ Pacific. For more on our stories, go to our website, rnzi.com.